Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Coming up on this edition of the TV Black Box 101 podcast, we delve into the new ABC series, Fires, and chat to one of the stars.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is TV Black Box, bringing you the inside goss from the TV industry.
Hello, gorgeous people, and welcome to another TV Black Box 101 podcast. I'm Aaron Ryan. The ABC is roaring with great Australian drama as of late, having just completed the compelling series, The Newsreader. On Sunday, the 26th of September, ABC moves into another gripping series, Fires. And I have one of the cast members here with me now, Hunter Page Loshard. Hunter, thank you for joining me.
Thanks, mate. Good to be here.
Well, I wanted to ask you first, if you tackle a role like this any differently to something like Clever Man. I ask this because I wonder if you feel there is any more sort of responsibility, knowing that the series is made to honour the people that were affected by the major bushfires in 2019 and 2020.
Definitely, yeah. That was one of the main aspects of, of the decision-making of this project. You know, there was one aspect of it that was the fear of it being, you know, a massive responsibility to take on, because it's a story that's for everyone in this country. It's not just our story to tell. So that was a massive responsibility, and something, you know, not only myself, but me, Eliza, the rest of the cast and the crew kind of took on. You know, there was this energy of like, we're not making this show for us, we're making this show for Australia. And that was a beautiful kind of camaraderie of responsibility that we all had. Yeah.
Were you afforded any firsthand people or volunteers or families that were affected by some of the major bushfire tragedies of the past 2 years, so they were able to share their insights and experiences, or was that made more to the creators?
A little bit of both. So for the first kind of writing and trying to get the stories together, it was a lot of the families and a lot of the real people. And then for me and my character, and for Eliza's character and some of the other firefighters in the brigade, we spent a day or two with an actual brigade that had gone through the 2019-2020 bushfires. And a cool thing that they did as well is that they separated us as cast and assigned us a firefighter that went through a similar thing that our character had gone through. Yeah. So I had a volunteer firefighter that was a rookie, and, you know, he was, because my character's a rookie, and he was telling me, you know, how it's like to walk into, you know, the gates of hell when you have no experience whatsoever, and how that fire changes you and changes you as a person. So you know, and they taught us, you know, all the tricks and trades of how to, you know, bowl out a hose and everything. So yeah, we did have that. Yeah.
During the scenes, are you just in the actor's mind, or does it really affect you as an actor when you're playing scenes, knowing that you're portraying, I guess, storylines that are built and inspired in real life events? It just, I wonder as a viewer, because when I watch a drama, knowing that it's based on a true story, there just seems to be that extra emotional experience, knowing that this story actually affected real people.
Oh, definitely. You know, there was a day on set where we were on the fire ground, and, you know, it was all controlled fire and everything. And you're sitting back as an actor and you're putting your actor's helmet on going, okay, but this is all, you know, special effects and you know, like fake fire, like how realistic really is this? And we had a fire, we had a couple of fire fighters and volunteers on set. And I remember one of them saying to me, wow, this looks like one of our first days. Like this looks legit. And so getting that confirmation from her and then jumping in on set again, you know, you kind of don't need to act because you've got this sense of realism that's confirmed. And then, you know, this sense of nostalgia of like, wow, this is a real thing. You know, it's the first kind of biopic, you know, show I've ever really kind of done. And that was one of the things me and Eliza said is that you don't need to do a lot of acting, you know, all the emotion, all the weight and everything is there because it is real, you know? Yeah. And it's something that you kind of got to tread carefully with as well. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. Can you tell us a bit more about the premise of the series, obviously beyond the fact that it's a show about bushfires? I mean, how does each episode work? Because I believe there's a different location for different episodes. Does that mean different cast for different episodes or is people moving on?
So the way that we've structured it is the first episode sets up your volunteer firefighters and it sets up the fires. And it sets up these two characters who are firefighters who you're going to follow throughout the whole series. And then when it gets to episode two, episode three, we see different vignettes of different families. So yeah, different casts for each episode, and the firefighters will be the one that kind of pull you through.
Well, tell us more about you, specifically about your character.
So Mott Mills is a volunteer firefighter from Queensland. And he's a little bit of a go-lucky, happy boy that kind of is always on the run and kind of doesn't deal with his conflicts, so always moves away and then, you know, finds himself in a relationship with another volunteer firefighter and realizes that's not a situation he can really run away from. And so has to deal with it and deal with that, you know, that PTSD of fear and why the hell are we doing this, you know, because, you know, yeah. So it's a gripping story of real, you know, Belinda and I kind of, we didn't really pick a character to be like, oh, we're going to play that firefighter. It was more or less kind of grabbing all of those Australian volunteer firefighters that were rookies and you know, had no training whatsoever, but were brave enough to go and help us and go and save us. Do you know what I mean? So
yeah. Well, your character, Mott, and friend, or maybe more than friend, Tash, seem to be the two main leads in the cast that travel as the bushfire spreads. Is it fair to say that your characters and Tash are the glue that hold the stories together as they meet new people in different locations? I've seen two episodes, but I understand, is that how it moves forward?
Yeah, that's definitely how it moves forward. Where, you know, I remember Belinda and Tony Ayres saying that Tash and Mott are definitely the, you know, the heart of the show. They're the familiarity that people attach themselves to that unfortunately is gonna break their hearts.
Yeah. Look, I don't want to spoil anything, but the end of episode one is just the clincher, isn't it, to show how devastating this story is and where you're headed for subsequent episodes. So, I mean, episode one's really important. It was a devastating end to that episode, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. Episode one was actually really hard to shoot. You know, that final scene, without spoiling anything, you know, that took us 3 days to shoot, you know. And
wow.
And so... So yeah, it, you know, those kind of experiences, you know, walking on set and seeing, you know, the green screen and everything, and kind of, and then, you know, having real practical effects of fire and stuff like that. As I said before, you know, the acting is easy when you've got all this realism around you. Yeah.
It's a bit more fun though at the start of the episode before all this happens. It's a little bit of
definitely
dropping a few smellies in the fire truck maybe.
Oh, mate. Well, that's funny you mentioned that, because that was one of the one things that the firefighters did say to us. They said, whatever you do, do not make us cool. You know, do not make us the American firefighters, you know, running into the blaze and we're heroes and stuff, because that's just not who we are. We're Aussies. We're, you know, cracking fart jokes and doing all of that, you know. So, so yeah, that was the main thing. Yeah.
So when you're filming these, like the big fire scenes, I mean, how is that actually filmed? Is it just effects, or are you out in a bush with a controlled fire, or is it just a studio and effects? How does it actually work?
So it's a little bit of a split in the middle. So, you know, some of the inside the cabin stuff with the fire is all, you know, special effects with a little bit of practical effects, but everything outside, you know, when we're on the fire ground and stuff was all real fire, you know. It was all safely rigged up on trees and yeah, so, you know, we're like walking in with real smoke and
wow,
real heat and everything, you know. And I remember the first day for me, because my character is a rookie, you know, he's hyperventilating because he's freaking out.
Yeah.
And then, one thing that I didn't realize is that there's real smoke about. So hyperventilating real smoke isn't really the best thing to do. So, you know, even as an actor, being on set and realizing that and going, oh, okay, I gotta take that easy. And then it makes you realize, wait a minute, firefighters can't just do that. They can't just, I gotta take it easy and just have a break. It's like, no, it's 24/7 for them. So yeah, even little things like that on set, you kind of got a glimpse of what it actually was for them. Yeah.
A quick question about the cast. What a cast of legends you've got. Noni Woo! Hazelhurst, Richard Roxburgh, Sam Worthington, Miranda Otto, Sullivan Stapleton, Anna Torv. I mean, what did you learn from these guys? It must have been an amazing experience to learn and grow for yourself.
Oh, mate, it was a privilege to have my name up against, you know, those people's names and their work is a privilege. And, you know, my character, luckily enough, got to work with some of them. Unfortunately, I didn't get to work with Richard and Miranda, but I got to work with Sam and I got to work with Anna Torv, which I thought were great experiences. But out of all of them, you know, Eliza Scanlon, you know, she's, in my opinion, she's just as up there as much as they are, you know, and I think it's just her age that kind of makes people look past that. But when you look at her CV, you know, she's done some amazing work that I'm a massive fan of, you know, Devil All the Time, Little Women, you know, Baby Teeth. And so having her as a co-star was a dream come true. Like, I learned so much from her and it actually surprised me and inspired me again because of her age and just seeing how professional she was and some of the choices that she made. And yeah, she was just very inspiring and I'm a huge fan of Eliza Scanlon and I'm excited to see what more she does. And, you know, she's amazing in this show. And yeah, I can't praise that woman enough.
And the chemistry's great in the series too. So you guys look like you got on really well.
Oh, yeah, she's my sister. Yeah, she is my sister.
Well, hopefully not your sister in the show, because I think there's...
Yeah, no, definitely not. Definitely not.
We'll see where that's actually going, because, yeah, we'll only say it looks like there's a little bit of a bubbling thing in the first episode. I don't know how that plays out. As I said, I've watched two episodes, so we'll see how that goes.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ask you about some of the other parts of Korea. You've been a regular on Play School. I just have to ask, so many of the finest Australian actors have been on Play School, including your Fires co-star, of course, Noni Hazelhurst. What is it that attracts people to the coveted Play School role?
Oh, man. For me, it's the challenge. And I think a lot of them will say that as well. A lot of the presenters will say that as well. It's that, you know, on the surface, Play School may seem like a very easy thing to do. But I guarantee that Play School is probably the hardest thing out of all the projects that I've done. Because, you know, Play School has this, you know, beautiful amalgamation of television and theater. So you're putting on two different hats while you're working. And so I think that's kind of the main thing that draws actors to Play School, is that they know it's something that they don't need to take seriously because it's for kids. So there's no, you know, extra existential crisis or drama or anything like that to emotionally delve into. But, you know, and then it keeps you on your toes because it's actually quite hard. So it's like a little bit of a therapeutic kind of like, oh, I just need a jab of I'm capable. like after doing, you know, a few episodes of Play School, learning lines was like, you know, I could learn lines in a second, and that was only because of Play School, you know, because of what it requires you to do. So yeah, I think Play School is a great kind of gym for actors.
Is there any major storylines coming up where finally Big Ted and Jemima might just get together?
Mate, I've been trying for a long, long, long time, ever since I joined. And then Kaya came into the picture, and now there's this weird love triangle going on. Oh. Yeah, and Morris is jealous. Oh.
You're about to be seen in the feature film Streamlined. Can you tell us a bit about this and what you're playing, and maybe when we can expect that?
Yeah, no, Streamlined was fun. I got offered a little small role on that, and got to go to Gold Coast and shoot that. Now that was a great little fun. I think it's out in cinemas at the moment, but I could be wrong because of all the lockdown stuff that's been going on. But yeah, no, that was a great project. As I said, it was a small role, and I think, you know, one of the two scenes that I had was a fight scene with Levi Miller. So, you know, jumping in to punch Levi Miller in the face is, you know, why not? I'm not saying Levi Miller is a bad dude. I love you, Levi.
You said you had to travel to the Gold Coast for that. I was going to say that's about as far as you're going to get these days.
Yeah, I know. That was before lockdown. That was pre-COVID.
Oh, wow. So you filmed that one that far back?
Yeah, that was 2019, I think. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, that was a while ago.
I've read some of the roles and stuff that you've done in your career. Very versatile between television and film and theatre. Where are you most comfortable with, and like what type of roles?
I'm most comfortable in film. I do love television and theatre, but I do have to say that the silver screen is my kryptonite.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know, I'm starting to, you know, I've played a lot of young roles or a lot of Indigenous roles that aren't really sure of themselves and aren't really assertive. You know, they're always quite oppressed and not really aware of themselves as identity. And so, you know, I'm turning into an adult these days. I'm married. I've got a 2-year-old. So, like, oh, wow. You know, the roles that I want to play are quite, you know, mature and assertive, and they're aware of themselves, even if they do make mistakes and have flaws. But yeah, just kind of stepping into that adult world, you know, and trying to delve into characters and roles similar to Mott, you know, that aren't necessarily Indigenous, that aren't necessarily oppressed, that are just firefighters. So yeah, it's exciting because it's slowly, you know, the scales are slowly turning.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask about that. I noticed that role, there's just no play at all, unless it's in further episodes, but there's no play in that role about your heritage or cultural background. It's just you playing that character, and there's no token scene or anything like that. I mean,
no.
Is that
even with the aunties and stuff like that, it doesn't feel token. It just feels family, you know?
Yeah. So what is the ultimate role for you? Like, what's the perfect script? What do you want to do?
Ah, mate. Well, I am a sci-fi action nerd until the cows come home. So I'm going to put it out in the world. I've always put it out. I've always said other things, but I'm going to say this one this time. Manifold, Marvel, Kevin Feige, hit me up.
Oh, beautiful. I want to go back to Fires just for a moment. a lot of care and respect has gone into making this drama series, and there will be surely many out there that will have first-hand experiences and tragedies related to the bushfires. Do you think the creators did a good job in managing that line between, because you still want to have good television drama, but then also respecting the victims and families that are affected by the bushfire?
Definitely. I think that's one thing that they were all very careful of throughout the whole shoot, and something that the crew and cast were very mindful of. So, like, you know, even to the smallest detail, like we wouldn't go on a take unless a question that was raised was answered about authenticity or realism and stuff like that. So we were always trying to make sure we were doing things right for the people that we, for the stories of the people that we were telling. And one thing that I think Belinda and Tony and the writers did really well was the focus of their stories. So, you know, there's no government official character. There's no Aaron Sorkin West Wing scene of two officials walking down a hallway going, what are we going to do about the bushfire? I don't know. Well, we should do this. And, you know, there's no scene like that. There's only scenes of real life human beings in family situations, in dire situations that we can all relate to as a community, rather than the bad aspects of that experience. It's the positive aspects of banding together, of what happens if a stranger helps another stranger in a time of need. And I think that's what helped them the most in straddling that fine line of making the show as respectable as possible, was making it for them and showing the camaraderie and hope that the country actually can have during dire times.
So finally, how would you describe the series in terms of tone? I mean, is it tragic? Is it hopeful? Is it impactful? Is it inspiring? Or is it actually supposed to be all of these things?
I think I was literally just about to say that. I think it is all of those things. I think I remember Tony saying that, you know, it is a roller coaster, and to accept that it is, you know, like tragedy has comedy in it sometimes, you know, and you know, in the wake of darkness, there is always a little, you know, shining light. So yeah, I think it is all those things tonally, and I think it needs to be all those things. I think if it was just one thing, it would be a little bit too drab.
Yeah, I think you're going to end up with a lot of feedback coming in after the first episode comes in, from all walks of life. I mean, obviously family and friends that enjoy your role, but also probably from families and victims that have been totally part of this. I've watched two out of the six episodes, and I've actually got all of the six episodes, but I'm just not going to watch them, you know, like together, because it's a hard watch. I mean, I've watched the Richard Roxburgh and Miranda Otto.
Hard episode.
Oh, I know. That's why I'm not going straight into episode 3 and 4, like within 1 second. You know, I'm going to space it out for a few days, because it is a hard watch, but it is rewarding in what humans do when they rise from the ashes. It's hopeful, I guess, to the human spirit in this mad world that we're living in. So it's awesome. But Hunter,
especially
thank you.
Now, you know.
Oh,
especially now during COVID, you know.
What a mad world we're living in. But yeah, you see this people coming together and helping communities, and it's a beautiful thing, isn't it?
Mm.
Well, Hunter, thank you so much for your time and joining me at TV Black Box.
Thank you very much, mate. It's been a pleasure.
All right, Hunter Paige Lashard, star of the new series Fires, 8:30 p.m. Sunday on the ABC, and also in the upcoming movie Streamlined. I'll find out when that's on, and I'll put it up within the story of the podcast. Well, that's it for another TV Black Box 101 podcast. Thanks for your company, and for the latest television news and exclusives, head to tvblackbox.com.au. Until next time, I'm Aaron Ryan. Bye for now.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.